Hi, Sherry Honeycutt, life and business coach here, and welcome to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast, where my mission is to help you get out of your velvet rut and stop waiting to have the life and business you crave. This is a podcast where I help you get crystal clear about what you want, take inspired action, and step into the power you already possess. I help you get off your butts, B-U-T. I help you lose the weight, W-A-I-T, and create your unique life and business on your terms. Because it won't accidentally happen, my friends. It just won't. So lean into today's content, make the intention to take away a nugget or two, and most importantly, commit to implementing something. If you want to be happy and successful, whatever that means to you, then you must design your life and business on purpose. And I'm here to help you do just that. So let's go. Hello, and welcome to this week's podcast. So this week, I want to talk to you about something that comes up almost every single time I have a coaching client. With every single client, I find myself saying these words. I say something like this. So listen, just roll your eyes and do it anyway. Typically, I am at that point, I have just had a hunch, an idea of a piece of homework, something for my client to go do. And I know that they're going to think that it's either too simple, it's too wacky, or it's too woo-woo. Because a lot of the things that I will encourage people to do fall into one of those three categories. They're very simple on the out, you know, when you're looking at it. They're a little bit wacky, meaning somebody's like, that just sounds crazy. Or it's really woo-woo. And some of my clients love woo and some of them don't. But I just say to folks, after so many years of doing some of these simple practices, which I'm going to share with you today, I just feel so confident and I have such belief in the things that I'm going to share with you today and what I'm sharing with my clients in the moment that I just say to them, listen, just roll your eyes, be skeptical, in other words, and do it anyway. Okay. So what are some of these things that I talk about that are perhaps simple, wacky, or woo-woo? Okay. The first one is going to be super duper simple. And I know what your brain's going to do. You're going to go yawn. But here it is. Write things down. And I'm going to bet there's research to back this up, but I'm not a person who needs research to back up what I have found to be true in myself and others, and that there's something really powerful on a lot of different levels when we write something down. And I think this has always been true. I remember reading Napoleon Hill a million years ago, I think it was Get Rich or something, talking about writing down your goals. And I think his particular take was to get it out of your head and put it on paper. That self itself was a powerful thing. Get it out of your head and put it on paper somewhere. And that there was a research, I'm just now remembering this, but there was a lot of research done. They would interview people who were the most successful, at least on paper. And those were people who had goals that they wrote down. And it became more real when it was written down. I believe this is some stuff I remember from Stephen Covey a billion years ago. So writing things down, getting them out of your head and onto paper. But I'm going to add a piece to that, is that it needs to be on paper. I don't think we get the same jolt and juju when we put it in a Word document on our computer. I don't think it does the same thing for us. Or at least let me just speak for myself. It doesn't do the same thing for me. It feels like a step removed, not as organic, except when I write it down. So that is a very, very simple thing that I have taken to the bank, my friends. I've taken it literally to the bank by writing down my goals, my ideas, my insights, my wishes, my to-do list, okay? I'm old school. I'm old school and I write it down in a planner. Now, I use electronics all the time. I have reminders that are electronic reminders. I have calendars so that they sync up. I'm not anti-tech. I got tech all over the place. But that does not take the place of pen to paper. Pen to paper. And there's something super duper powerful about that. So that's a simple one. Writing things down, getting your thoughts out of your head. I can go 100 other directions like journaling and all those things. But for this little life hack, I just want you to understand the power of writing things down. That's the first one. The second simple thing that I find myself often saying to folks, and again, they kind of just say, roll your eyes and do it anyway, is to create some kind of visual representation of what you want. Now, I talked a couple of podcasts ago about making vision boards. If you don't know what a vision board is, it's where you just, you know, you put the things that you want onto a board or anything. It's lots of different ways to do it. But I have found this incredibly powerful. And there have been people all across the world who have done this and manifested, kind of a word we overuse these days, but brought those things into their life. Why? Because they were looking at them every day. It's not enough that I want to go to Positano, Italy. I have pictures of it in my eyesight. It helps me remember why I'm doing things on a given day. It helps me remember what I'm working for. It helps me remember and get in touch with what's on the other side of some of the things that I'm doing right now. Okay. It also, you can use a vision board to remind you of how you want to feel or a mantra that you want to have in your mind. Like I'm looking at my vision board right now. I'm looking over here and it says badass. I love that. It has vision. It has words that says make bank. It has pictures of Melissa McCarthy. That was what the podcast was about a couple of weeks ago, but visual of her, which I find her very inspiring. I have a quote by someone, I've covered up the name, maybe Emily Dickinson. No, I don't know who it is. But anyway, dwell in possibility. That's what's in my eyesight as I sit right here. And that is a powerful thing to draw you forward. I'm just looking around. I have post-it notes. I have plants with little names on them. I have all kinds of things around here. Why? Because my brain needs breadcrumbs. My brain needs little breadcrumbs about what I'm trying to do. I even have jewelry with words written on them. I will sometimes, my favorite little thing to do, and I learned this from another friend about a year and a half ago, is I take eyeliner and I write on my wrist. Most days, about half the time, I have something written on my wrist. Why? Because left to my own devices, my brain forgets the things that I want. So this need for visual cues, visual clues about what I want is incredibly valuable. So this is often one of the pieces of homework. I send some of my clients off. They're like, I did what? You want me to go home and do what? Cut out magazine pictures? Really? This is what we're doing? I'm just saying, yes, roll your eyes and do it anyway. Roll your eyes and do it anyway. Okay. I love that one. I absolutely love that one. Those first two, writing things down with my hands, getting it out of my head and my heart and onto paper, and then creating a visual field in front of me, reminding me of what I want, are my two favorite things to do. Then there's one, and this is the one I was talking about with the woman that I had met earlier this week, the power of talking to ourselves out loud. She specifically mentioned this one was something her therapist had recommended that she do in times of stress, was to talk to herself out loud like she was another human in the room. And this particular person, Danielle, if you're listening, I'm telling your story, she resisted it because why? It sounded silly. I'm going to stand in a room by myself and I'm going to talk to myself, or I'm going to have a dialogue. Yes, you are. And I don't really understand the psychology behind it, but let me tell you my theories. First of all, we humans love to hear our name. You know this. We if you're in sales, you learn how to use people's names. You know that you turn immediately when somebody says your name. And so we love to hear the sound of our name. We also have powerful internal intelligence, and that it and it's when we begin to speak it that sometimes we can override what's happening in our brain, which may be thoughts that aren't productive or aren't helpful. Okay, so our brains love to think the same thoughts over and over and over and over very simply, and if we're really honest, many of those are negative. Many of those are negative. So sometimes we have to step out of our brains, step out of our quiet thoughts, and have a conversation with ourselves. So, hey, Sherry, listen. Today's the day, baby girl. You got this. Or, hey, Sherry, listen. You are sliding down into an old habit, and we want you to do it differently. Come on, let's go. Okay? Or Sherry, I know that you're faced with this really hard thing. I want to tell you a story about when you had to do something hard before and you kicked it. Okay. So there's this tiny bit of separation from your thoughts and yourself, and you tap into a different part of your own intelligence. Okay. And that dialogue, but actually speaking it and hearing it. And I don't know that that necessarily only applies to people who are auditory. Like, I'm incredibly auditory. I listen to most things on tape, that kind of thing. I think all of us respond in some ways when we speak out loud something to ourselves like, you promised yourself you weren't going to eat past 8:30 or night, or you promised yourself that the small $20 spends, you were going to stop and put that money away for your trip to Positano, right? Or or guess what? You're getting ready to walk into this situation and you need to be on your best game. Let's go. Okay. So the power of speaking to yourself is one of those things that might sound to you either too simple or a little too wacky. I don't know if you think it's woo-woo or not, but it is a powerful, powerful tool. Powerful tool. Now, while we're talking about talking to ourselves, I want to talk a little bit about parts work. You may have heard of it. It's a therapeutic modality called internal family systems. Some people refer to it as parts work. Well, this is not a podcast on this particular topic. I'm going to do one in the future about it. But long before I heard of this particular thing, internal family systems therapy, I was using parts language. And I bet you are too. See if you've ever said something like this. Well, part of me wants to go to the party and part of me wants to stay home. Part of me thinks I can do this and part of me is a little scared. Right? We all talk in these parts. In fact, that's what Dick Schwartz, who founded and really came up with this modality, noticed about everybody, is that they have these multiple parts of themselves. And like I said, I had identified that in myself long before I knew about IFS. In fact, I had named my inner critic, and her name is, or was, Sasha. Those of you who follow me for a while know that Sasha looks like Cher in the 70s, tall, thin. She flipped her hair a lot, you know, super duper critical. And so I would have conversations with Sasha. Now, again, don't call in, you know, I don't need mental health services for this. This is not, you know, people will often say, is this like hearing voices in your head? No. This is just understanding that we are complex creatures, and that there are parts of us that sometimes tell us things, have us do things that are counter or sabotaging the results we really want. Or there are parts of us that are kind of dormant that are our kick-ass parts. Like, hey, let's go. Let's pull in our bigger, our parts that are in alignment with what we're trying to create. So having these conversations, and again, it's a little bit more complicated, but it doesn't have to be. It's simply being open to the idea that you can have multiple parts of yourself and begin to give them a persona. begin to give them a persona. And like I said, before I really did any deep study in this, I had crafted a persona around Sasha. And what that allowed me to do was I could name her. Then frankly, I got to tame her because I could have dialogue with really myself, my internal critic, me that was being critical, and then begin to reframe it. So tame, frame, and tame, name, tame, and reframe is sort of the byproduct of being able to talk to various parts of yourself. Now, what I just described is not the process that therapists learn on how to work with parts. I am not giving you a condensed version of anybody's theories. I'm just telling it how it worked for me early on. Since know a whole lot more about it and how to use it in a more direct way. But at the very most simple thing that I want you to understand is you can begin to separate out within yourself various parts of yourself and begin, just like in the last hack, have conversation. So again, that one may not be so simple, but it does sound a little wacky for some people. I've had some clients when I have them do this, they're resistant to it because I don't know why, but there's some resistance. But when we're able to do it and really have that little bit of separation, and it's kind of like separating ourselves out from our thoughts, you know, and I like to say, don't always believe everything you think. This is one of those tools to do that. So maybe a little woo-woo sounding, excuse me, maybe a little wacky, but I invite you to roll your eyes and do it anyway, okay? Well, there's one on my list that I was going to skip, but I'll throw it in here. I don't know, not everybody loves this, but I love crystals. I love rocks and crystals, and I love to research their meaning, and I like to go shopping for them. I like to take a certain crystal at a certain time, and I'll often stick one down in my bra. Okay, I just walk around with bra rocks, okay? And sometimes at night when I'm changing clothes, you'll hear this tink, tink, tink as they fall out on the floor. We kind of laugh about it. But I do believe that crystals have powerful principles and powerful properties. I don't pretend to be an expert on it. And here's the thing. I don't need to be for this to be something I'm willing to do. Because the intention behind it, I can go to a bowl of beautiful crystals in my home and I will just be attracted to one. I'll pull it out, then I might go to the book and read what it's about, or I might not. Just simply trust my own intuition to have this little bit of an anchor. I carry it in my pocket, or I put it in my bra, or I carry it in my purse. And when I feel it there or see it, I remember my intention. You see what I'm doing? I'm anchoring, I'm putting, it's kind of like another visual, but this crystal adds another layer of nuance for me that I have found over the years to be incredibly helpful. Even the shopping of them, sometimes I'll go and I'll say, you know, I'm feeling that I really want to up my sense around health. That was my last podcast with you guys, something around health. Or I might say, I really want to bring in more prosperity, or I'm really wanting to focus more on, positive intentions. And so I'll go to my books and I go, oh, that particular stone does that. Let me go buy that stone. I'm not talking about a lot of money, but the effort and the attention, and I find the stones and I hold them in my hand and I let them speak to me. And they are a very valuable piece of, oh, I don't even know what to call them. Piece of something that I use. I'm sitting and looking at them right now in my office. I have larger ones, I have smaller ones, but the act and the intention and the connection that I feel keeps me anchored in what I'm trying to create. Okay, and you know I'm all about creating things on purpose, and so these roll your eyes and do it anyway kind of tips are all about how to keep that top of mind. Okay. So I have two more. And the next one is oracle decks, card decks. And I just threw that one in here. I didn't have it on the list, but I looked over and I saw how many card decks and cards are sitting around my desk. This is another perhaps, maybe for some of my clients, a bit woo-woo, but this is how these work for me. For me, I've decided that things aren't always necessarily random. And so I allow my belief in magic and spirit and source speaking to me, giving me images and ideas and messages in a way that's very direct and even indirect. So I use these card decks to help me answer questions, to give me a message, kind of like you might say, well, I pray and I get a message, or I'm asked a question and I want a message. And I use a variety of decks. I have like 35. I have a bit of a problem. But I use a variety of decks to send me a message, to give me some. So sometimes I'll pick a deck that's super clear. It just says, you are loved, or go stand outside in the sun, or, you know, take a nap. And I have some card decks that are more mystical and the meaning is a bit more hidden. I use tarot decks where those meanings are much more ancient and consistent across the years. All of these, and some of my favorite authors create these decks. And so I use them as a way for me to, stay in touch with, you know, what I'm trying to do, to give myself some confidence, to give myself a message, to help me find some insight. And so when I introduce cards to my clients for the very first time, I do get a bit of resistance. Like, really? You think you're good? You know, this random card you pick out of this deck, we're going to put stock in it. And I'm like, you can or you can't. You don't have to. But what does it hurt? Let's just roll our eyes and do it anyway. Let's roll our eyes and do it anyway. And 10 times out of 10, there's a powerful message in it. And you can choose to believe it or not, or hear it or not, or make it mean whatever you want to. But again, for me, I have been doing this for years. And I have found that it is a powerful way for me to look within, to get some insight, to have some understanding about something. So I love my card decks. I love my card decks. Okay. And here's the last one. I probably have more, but here's the last one. About 20 years ago, I started studying feng shui. And I wouldn't say I went down the biggest rabbit hole, but I went down a Western understanding of feng shui rabbit hole. You know, there's so many layers to this principle, this principle around placement, about color and elements, and it's ancient, about how you place a house on a piece of property and how it faces this and the water and the wind and mirrors. And so it can be incredibly complex. But like most things for me, I don't go to the deepest level of everything. I find for myself, I don't need it. I used to joke when I was a speaker, I used to say, you know, I just read the titles of all the books on my bookshelf and I feel better. I don't actually have to read the books. Feel the fear and do it anyway. And, you know, be your best friend and look to your North Star. but I did do quite a deep dive in feng shui. But here's my biggest takeaway from feng shui principles. Number one is that clutter clogs the chi. Clogs the energy. Well, that's not rocket science, right? Clutter makes us feel cluttered and stuck, right? So that right there is just logical to me. It's something I feel in my bones. And so almost always with my clients at some point, something comes up about clearing the clutter, because our outsides reflect our insides, okay? And so clearing the clutter can do so much to get you moving, to help you find clarity. Literally, if you clear something, you'll find clarity within yourself. Okay. And then the second piece is that then I will take the principles of feng shui. And there was a book by Karen Armstrong. I'll put it in the show notes if I remember, but it was Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. Karen somebody, and I don't want to turn my head while I'm on the podcast, but Karen, sorry, Karen, but Move Your Stuff and Change Your Life. And it was a very simple book that took the basic principles of feng shui. And so much like with crystals, I would look at what I was trying to create in my life. I still do this and say, okay, there, like, I want all of my home to not feel cluttered. I want all of my space to feel good. But there are times that I'm working on a particular issue or I feel I'm stuck or stagnant in a particular part of my life. And I'll go to the feng shui and I'll say, okay, these are the areas I'm really going to clean up. I'm really going to clean up and beautify with, and here's the key part, with the intention that things in my life begin to clear up as well. So I don't just mindlessly do it. I do it while meanwhile holding in my heart the intention for what I'm wanting it to create. Okay. So I'll give you an example. When I was married to my first husband, I remember this. I was brand new learning feng shui back in the day. And I noticed, and I won't go into great detail, but there was a part of our prosperity area of our home that was missing, meaning the shape of our home meant that we didn't have as much home in the prosperity area, which meant it landed in the outside of our home. And this was a piece of the yard that had no beautification in it. And I went, oh my goodness, I want money to roll freely here, you know, so I need to go outside and beautify this area, clean it up, make it be beautiful, and set the intention around prosperity. So I studied this. I went out and I bought gold and yellow and purple flowers and greenery and all colors that were in alignment with money and prosperity in this area around in feng shui. And I put some little rocks around there. And I think I might have even buried a few things in the ground as I planted those flowers in the summer. And would you know it? I got a call out of the blue to write curriculum for $6,000 that summer to do some sexuality education curriculum, which is something that I did back then. But I had never heard of these people. I don't know how they got my name. They found me, and I actually wrote several things for them over the years. What? Was it because I planted purple flowers and yellow flowers? I don't know. But what's the better story? The story for me is, yes, it is. That's what I did. I planted those flowers. More importantly, I set the intention to allow money to come in. Okay. And I have a lot more stories and stories from my own clients who have gone and on a deeper level began to use placement, color, and intention in their home. So if this is pinging you, this is something I work with my clients on. I'm not a feng shui expert, but it's something I bring up with all my clients. But simply starting with decluttering and beautifying with the intention of how you want to feel or what you're trying to bring into your life. My friends, if it's pinging you, I invite you to roll your eyes and do it anyway. Okay? So I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast before, but I've been a trainer and a coach for over 20 years. I've been coaching for a long time. I've been a speaker for a long time, and I've got my own burnout story. And I took a year or two off to kind of recalibrate and figure out how I wanted to show up to my work. And I was sitting on my new back patio where I live right now, and I was talking to my new husband in my new beautiful home, and I'm like, how in the heck did I get here? And what I realized, my dear friends, is that I had been doing all of these things and more things that were very intentionally setting my sights on what I wanted. And many of them were simple or wacky or woo-woo. And some of the time, you guys, I didn't necessarily believe that carrying a crystal in my bra did anything, but did it hurt? I've made a couple of vision boards that I'm like, I'm just slapping things on here because I kind of believe in this. Or, you know, I have these conversations with myself, or, you know, I keep writing down my goals all the time. And doggone it, I've turned out to have one of the most beautiful lives I've ever imagined. That's not perfect. Whose is? I'm not going for perfect. But my point is that these simple sort of little know-nothing things is what I attribute a lot of the things that I have in my life right now was by doing some of these simple, wacky, or woo-woo things. So that's my invitation to you. I sure hope one or more of these has pinged you. And if it has, you know what I'm about to say, go out and roll your eyes and do them anyway. I'd love to hear from you and hear how it's going. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you back at the next podcast. Doodles. Thank you so much for listening to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast, and I sure hope that you're taking away something that you can begin to use today. Speaking of things you can use, I have lots of free things over at sherryhoneycutt.com, and the one I want to highlight in today's podcast is something I call Work Your Butt Off, and I spell it B-U-T. Let's get those butts worked off, and it is a 30-day program to help you get your butts off the couch. It's 30 videos, it's a 75-page workbook, I think, and it's free to help you begin to take deliberate action toward getting that thing or those things done. So that's what I've got for you. I would love to invite you over to sherryhoneycutt.com. Click under cool stuff and you'll find that. You'll also find the link in the show notes and in the description of this podcast. Y'all, I'm here to help you take action, because action is how we begin to get new thoughts around our life. So go check it out. Get your free copy of this course that I've designed, and go and design your best life. Until next time.